The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Denver. The voice of the people. News Talk 710. Breaking the rules and calling out fools. This is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710. KNUS.
You better believe it. Good morning, everybody. It is a Tuesday morning, the May 11th, and it's 7 a.m. and making the joke, the look outside looks like February. However, it is May the 11th. Cold, wet. We got a bunch of snow last night. It's going to go away and make the lawns green, make the trees grow, and all's well in the world. 55 tomorrow, some showers. And on Thursday, warmer again, and 73 will be the high. And Friday and Saturday goes into the springtime weekend. We're standing by, and I hope this one goes through, with Dylan Howard, who did the book Dead Men Tell No Tales. And we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein, but the big story breaks yesterday, and actually it started on Thursday, Friday, about Bill Gates and Epstein, and then some really snarky, sick stuff emerges about Bill Gates and his relationships and what he was really all about. And as we've been saying off and on to the audience is, you know, are you shocked? And the answer is no, I'm not. But behind that image of being the straight-laced tech mogul, Gates is sick in terms of, you know, I don't care what anybody does with another consenting adult. That's no big deal. Or even, you know, you pay somebody and they're a consenting adult. That's your world. But kids, young girls, 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, and all of that ties into Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not a prude. I mean, I don't understand, you know, so you screw it around on your wife. That's between you and her. But this stuff is beyond that. And it's hardly the image of Bill Gates. But then the MacGuffin turns up where he is tied into none other than Jeffrey Epstein and Melinda. She's now Melinda French. She went back to her before married name, and she was talking to the lawyers in 19 of the reports of Epstein's dealing with the dealings with Bill Gates. And then it turns out that the media is covering it up. That, again, I'll read it to you. Microsoft co-founder, wild lifestyle, well-known among inner circles, but newspapers like the New York Times hid the unflattering reports to continue to get spoon-fed stories. And I know what I witnessed here in Denver when it came to Players and Sugar. Lights just went green. I got to tell you something, man. I've become a fan. Dylan Howard, welcome back to 710 KNUS. Thanks for doing a radio show, and I hope you got about an hour. And thanks for doing it again. Welcome home.
You're absolutely welcome.
I got to tell you, I read Dead Men, and that's your Epstein book. I got about 10,000 questions, and now, but I'd like to. First of all, would you do a quick bio so people know who you are?
Sure. I'm an Australian-born investigative reporter who has been working in the industry for two decades. I began my career in newspapers, working for Murdoch's paper conglomerate in Australia. Then I moved into television, where I worked for the NBC equivalent, and then moved to America, where I worked for Reuters, before moving into the salacious world of the tabloids, ultimately becoming the chief content officer of American Media, which is now named a 360 Media, every magazine except for People magazine I published.
You're the man. I got to begin. Last week, the story starts coming apart about Bill Gates and Epstein. Talk to that,
yeah.
And, you know, I asked the audience, was anybody really shocked? And just tell the story, if you would, please.
Well, I mean, yes, I think people were shocked. Melinda Gates and Bill Gates had, though not appeared in public together for some time, it did blindside a lot of people. The reality was that we've subsequently learned that in 2019, Melinda hired a team of lawyers from various high-profile law firms to discuss a possible divorce. Now, this was all happening in the background, and we didn't know. Now, the Wall Street Journal has subsequently reported that Melinda was concerned about her husband's business dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, we know that Epstein was ultimately arrested and died in 2019 while awaiting trial on federal charges related to sex trafficking. Now, according to these sources that spoke to the Wall Street Journal, Melinda supposedly expressed a level of unease at her husband's relationship with Epstein dating back to 2013. And her meeting with lawyers happened around the same time that there was an expose in the New York Times detailing her husband's meetings with Epstein, which even included an overnight stay at Epstein's mansion here in New York City. So it appears as though Jeffrey Epstein played a critical role in Melinda's decision to divorce her husband.
Our guest is terrific. His name is Dylan Howard. He did, I've been through now these Epstein books I wrote, I read Relentless Pursuit and I read Dead Men. Here's a question I was thinking about this last night. If I were to ask you this, who is Jeffrey Epstein or who was Jeffrey Epstein? How would you answer that?
He was a master of the dark art of spying, whom remained a mysterious figure who was able to ingratiate himself into the lives of the rich and famous while simultaneously operating the most heinous sex trafficking ring the world has ever seen.
Yeah. There's accusations. Most of these girls were 14. Do you believe the charges of some of them were 13?
Oh, I have no doubt. I think there could be some that were even younger. As it relates to Bill Gates, let's say from the very outset, there is no evidence to suggest that Bill Gates was involved in any sexual activities with Epstein. But what's particularly concerning as it relates to Bill Gates is that he started a business relationship with Epstein when Epstein had already been convicted of sex crimes.
Yeah.
So that's particularly concerning.
Well, there's a story this morning about his lifestyle, about Gates's lifestyle. And I'm no prude, but I'll read it. Behind his image as a straight-laced tech mogul, Gates was notorious for throwing naked pool parties with strippers. Goes from there that he was giving spoon-fed stories to the media that covered it up. But it goes on to say that when he was at Harvard, he frequented Boston's notorious combat zone, porn shops, strip joints, and prostitutes. When it comes to Epstein, but again, I'll continue. Gates' bachelor lifestyle didn't end when he got married. I'm trying to skip it over. But this guy's got $124 billion. Why would he spend the night at Jeffrey Epstein's? And somebody would say, well, they were talking philanthropy and talking about he was getting advice on investing. He doesn't need any of that from Epstein. Why did he spend the night at the mansion?
Well, let's put it into perspective. In 2019, when pressed about his relationship with Epstein, Gates, or a spokesperson for Gates in a statement, said, on behalf of gays. I met him. I didn't have any business relationship or friendship with him. I didn't go to New Mexico or Florida or Palm Beach or any of that. There were people around him who were saying, hey, if you want to raise money for global health and get more philanthropic monies, he knows a lot of rich people. Every meeting where I was him, were meetings with men. I was never at any parties or anything like that. Mm. He never donated any money to anything that I know about. This is a bit like Bill Clinton's statement.
Thank you. Thank you.
It passes words carefully. I didn't go to New Mexico or Florida or Palm Beach, but he leaves out New York.
Yes.
So there are some legitimate questions that ought to be asked of Bill Gates in the wake of this report. Now, I'd like to ask you, I have not read that article. Where was that published?
Let me go to all my notes. Got tons of things in front of me. Bill Gates, womanizer. Bill Gates, known for womanizing. Bill Gates, womanizing. Held nude parties. Biographer. New York Post this morning.
I see. So, I mean, this is another side of Bill Gates that we seemingly did not know of until now.
My point.
It's true. It raises some serious issues as it relates to his activities, and goes a long way to explaining why Melinda Gates would have engaged legal counsel around the same time and look at a possible divorce. What was the motivation for her to doing that? Certainly it wasn't just that she knew that her husband had met with someone who was a convicted criminal. That probably doesn't give rise to the suggestion of a divorce. Was there something more sinister that we didn't know about?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
These
my question.
These are very valid questions.
Well, that's my question. What would Bill Gates need Jeffrey Epstein for? The answer is the only one I can come up with. And Gates known for, I'll just read you the headline, Gates known for womanizing naked pool parties, and the beat goes on. And even when he's married, he's meeting a woman every summer. They meet together for a week. I mean, this guy, if it were, I don't know, somebody that's beyond reproach and they met with Epstein, but this guy's not above it. His track record, he's like Bill Clinton. In one of the books, maybe it was yours, that on all the flights to Little St. James, on six of those flights, Bill Clinton would not bring his Secret Service you're ahead of me. So tell that story.
Well, first of all, Bill Clinton denies ever going to Little St. James, the island subsequently dubbed Orgy Island. Records suggest otherwise. Flight manifests suggest otherwise. And in every instance that he traveled, he did not travel with his post-presidency Secret Service detail. Now, okay, being isolated on an island is unlikely to ever get a former president the subject of an assassin or anything like that, but it is the exception, not the norm, that any former president travel or go to any remote location, let alone an island, even if it is part of the United States, without that detail. The Secret Service, for one, that goes against their primary function and their policies and procedures. So Bill Clinton, I must be unapologetic in saying this, has outright lied about his connections with Jeffrey Epstein.
He's on the manifest of the airplane.
Yeah. Now, is the Southern District of New York that is prosecuting the Ghislaine Maxwell case likely to call a former president in for questioning? No. Are they going to call him to testify in the trial? No. That's not a spectacle that I think a Biden-led Department of Justice is going to allow.
Agreed. But will they call David Copperfield? Will they call all these other prominent bold print names that clearly went with him. It went to the island.
I suspect the Southern District of New York would have expected that Ghislaine Maxwell would have crumbled like a cheap soup by now.
Yeah.
That she would have spilled her guts, taken a plea deal, and be done with. But she seems to be holding out, which, to our last conversation, is particularly troublesome, not just for the Biden DOJ, but for the DOJs before Biden, Trump, Bush, Clinton,
yeah.
Because they all knew who Jeffrey Epstein was. And in many ways, they harbored him, allowing him to continue doing business in the United States, the business of spying and blackmail, without repercussions. And many politicians have been linked to this scandal, and it doesn't discriminate based on ideological line.
No. Guillifrey is these people that show up, and there's a woman named Christy Teigen I've read her, and I'll just read you Christy Teigen. I tell you what, Dylan Howard's here. I don't know, I geeked out on this whole story, and I just can't, because I think it holds the key to so many different things. I got her testimony in front of me. Mark Epstein's hiring Michael Baden to do a post-mortem.
Mm-hmm.
You've read that. And he straight out says, look, they murdered him. I'm trying to find my notes, but Epstein, how many girls do you think Epstein molested? Can we ever know?
I don't think we'll ever know the full amount, but it's certainly north of 60, maybe closer to 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And then ones he favored, he would take with him. And those were the ones that he would have make, or they would have sex with other powerful men.
Don't forget there's the famous image of Bill Clinton getting a massage, innocent enough, fully clothed, in between flights.
In Relentless Pursuit, Dershowitz first denies getting massages, and then he's on record saying, yeah, I got a massage, but I kept my underwear on. Here it is. Here, I'll read her. According to Teigen, allegations began after her name appeared on unsubstantiated flight logs, Epstein's flight logs. In response, Teigen tweeted, when pedo, meaning pedophile, Ghislaine Maxwell sings like a canary if she doesn't die, we will have nothing to do with this. I know for a fact it won't go away. They just think of another excuse. It's extremely disheartening. I don't know how to stop this, and I don't think anyone quite gets it. Now, Epstein to Prince Andrew, I'll read this. This is really rough, and this was your good work, whom he reportedly met in the 1990s through Maxwell. In court documents, is it Guillifrey? Said Maxwell directed her to have sex with former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, billionaire Glenn Dubin, since deceased MIT scientist Marvin Minsky, modeling agent Jean Le Brunel, and Prince Andrew. She also said she was sexually trafficked to former Maine Senator George Mitchell. Guffley also alleged she was forced to have sex with another prince, an owner of a large hotel chain, a well-known prime minister, and documents she argues she was directed to have sex with lawyer Alan Dershowitz. Well, I mean, Dylan, this is so widespread.
It is, because Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were able to build up a network of rich and powerful on both sides of the political aisle, and that was done with intent, because they needed, regardless of who was the administration of record at that given time, they needed to cover all bases. And don't forget that when Bill Clinton was sidling up to Jeffrey Epstein, his wife Hillary was then a senator who was serving on national security committees. Now, do you think that Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein were talking about Sunday night football?
No. No.
They were clearly talking about matters of international consequence, of which you would assume the former president, who got a daily briefing, is privy to information that Epstein could use as he was peddling information classified to foreign countries.
I am at a pause break. When I come back, we'll pick it up again, because this is what's chasing. Who is or was Jeffrey Epstein? The passport story that they saw open his safe, and you have this. You say he was with Mossad. The one guy that testifies that he went to CIA schools. And again, we'll just pick it up from this. Is really, the book is tremendous. Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Want to know an easy way to save money every month? It's refi, and you do this before rates get any higher. Some programs with rates in the twos, making it time to call American Financing. Truly, honestly, you guys, I'm saying to you, this is a pay raise. Save money. If you're going to save $500, it's like getting $500. Tens of thousands of dollars, long-term savings, the kind of money you can't miss out on. Really look at financial pictures, because they can look at you, then they go from there. Do it now before you miss out on the record low rates. You got to call American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. They're there. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. But please just call them this morning, 303-695-7000. 40 and springtime snow. Hang on, 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
Tuesday morning, everyone. There is snow in the city. Good morning. It is one of those mornings. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. I tell you what, the relationship with guys like Dylan Howard and his book, Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, these guys come in and co-host with us. You have a vehicle you're not using, ready to upgrade to one you have. And if I told you your unused vehicle could save somebody's life, Step Denver, we're talking about the insanity of these homeless. We now have a homeless camp moving closer to the radio station. Step Denver, and began with Bob Cote those years ago in 83, and overcoming consequences of addiction, rebuilding lives and sobriety work, accountability, and community. Please, if you have a vehicle, a car, a truck, a motorcycle, an RV, a boat, call Vincent, 303-296-9020. If you can't get it there, they'll come in. That's a tow-free. They'll bring it in. The last 16 months, Morning Show listeners have donated 182 vehicles and given 91 guys the opportunity to enter the program. $4.3 million impact. They changed it. There's no government money. And remember, the number one thing from Cote was sobriety, then work, then accountability. It works. The insanity, the stupidity of Michael Hancock and John Hickenlooper, Parvinsky, and the rest of them are killing guys on the installment plan. But the answer is there, tow-free, hassle-free, and they'll, of course, save you money on your taxes. 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020, stepdenver.org, stepdenver.org. Our guest is tremendous. His book is Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. The story comes apart on Bill Gates starting last week, and this morning in New York, the newspapers are really doing a job about his womanizing and his overnight stays with Jeffrey Epstein. But this guy, our guest on the phone, Dylan Howard's book, Dead Men Tell No Tales, I guess begging the obvious question, and you and I have talked about this before, how do you believe Epstein died?
Well, I've long believed that Jeffrey Epstein had an assisted suicide, that the message was got to him that his expiration date had expired, that he was the custodian of so many deep and dark and nefarious secrets that he's worth to those that he served had to be terminated, and he was given every means by which to commit suicide. Someone who had been placed on suicide watch was returned to regular prison population and given clothes. That doesn't happen, especially after 4 weeks of suicide watch. One, you're not let out of suicide watch after 4 weeks. That's a record-breaking pace. Certainly you're not given clothes. You're given paper to wear because they don't want to give you clothing that could allow you to commit suicide. Furthermore, you're not given the means by which you could use something to commit suicide, like an electrical appliance with a cord, or medication, which was all found in his cell. I find it hard to believe that someone would have killed him inside the prison. I really do. But I believe that he was able to orchestrate his own death. And quite frankly, did so.
He had gotten out of it so many times in the past. The Florida stories with the Justice Department during Bill Clinton's presidency are, I mean, we hear a word or a term called miscarriage of justice. It's horrible what happened with him in Florida. Why did
it? But why?
Yeah, bingo. Why I put a question mark. Why? How was he able to get away with what he got away with the DOJ in Florida?
Because it was a corrupt prosecution in the first instance. Even though he agreed to a plea deal which would see him serve 1 year with time in and outside of prison, prior to that, he was actually offered a plea deal that would see him serve no jail time, and he rejected it with so much hubris because he believed that he would forever be protected by the DOJ, whether it was blue or red, Democratic or GOP. But in the end, he had to serve a year. And Alex Acosta, the Trump former Labor Secretary, has been mightily silent on this, other than to say he was told this is above your pay grade, which would give rise to the speculation that the DOJ at the time, which was an Obama administration, I believe, or certainly coming out of the Bush administration, would have instructed the DOJ to handle this with the appropriate care of nervous politicians.
One of the people that shows up is Alexander Acosta. I got nothing on my hands, but I do this, that's why you're so important. Dylan Howard is here. Acosta is the current U.S. Secretary of Labor. Acosta was responsible for the sentencing in Florida. Acosta made the deal with Epstein, and he's currently Joe Biden's Secretary of Labor. 36 people were identified as victims. Epstein gets this light sentencing as well as immunity from all federal charges. Dylan, how the hell did he do that?
Well, to clarify, Alexander Acosta was Trump's labor secretary and ultimately fell on his sword halfway through the administration.
You're right. I'm doing 10 things at once. I apologize.
That's fine. That's why you have people like me.
Yeah, that's exactly why. But it's Alexander Acosta was responsible for the sentencing, was he not?
He was. He is notoriously said that he was told, hands off, this is above your pay grade.
Okay. Yeah, that was it.
So he, in many ways, has paid the ultimate sacrifice. A soldier in war who gave his life to protect others.
I'm stunned by it. And Dylan Howard is here. Epstein, dead men tell no tales. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father was Robert Maxwell, was he a suicide, or do you think somebody killed him?
I think he was killed.
I do too. Why would they kill? Why would they kill Robert Maxwell?
Well, he had a lot of liability for the Mossad, for whom he was working at the time, because despite being a media mogul, he had misappropriated hundreds of millions of dollars of pension funds. And if he was to be prosecuted for that, as the owner of the Mirror newspaper group in England, naturally he could leverage the intelligence that he had with Mossad to cut a better deal. So by being killed, as I point out in the book, dead men tell no tales.
Did Maxwell was a Ponzi scheme too in the end, was he not?
Well, not so much a Ponzi scheme. It was the embezzlement of hundreds of millions of dollars of money that was put aside for the retirement of his thousands of employees. And he ultimately was using that money to fund his lifestyle. Had he have been prosecuted for the crime, naturally enough, law enforcement try to get more out of their target by dangling the carrot of a lower sentence, a lower charge sheet, or anything like that. So it behooved international intelligence agencies for whom he worked, i.e. the Mossad, to have him killed to protect the information that he had shared with them over the course of decades working as a spy.
Did Epstein work for Mossad?
He worked for Israeli intelligence. There is some dispute as to whether it was the Mossad or another arm of Israeli military. Regardless, he worked at least for Saudi Arabia, Russia, and also Israel, not so much as a formal agent, but as a freelancer who wheeled and dealed and knew what he needed to do in order to sell intelligence to the highest bidder.
Our guest is Dylan Howard. The book is a must-read, Dead Men Tell No Tales. So July the 6th, 2019, Epstein gets arrested in New Jersey. And when the word that was used, the term that was used in Pursuit was the FBI saws into his, and they find how many legitimate passports do you think Epstein had?
Look, who knows? Who knows what his fortune was either? I mean, these are people that are the master of the dark arts, laundering money offshore. Was his final net worth $540
no.
million, dollars, as was suggested?
No.
I find that hard to believe.
I do too.
He was found to have had a Saudi passport, mm-hmm. but that dated back to his days working for Adnan Khashoggi, the notorious arms dealer, when he boastfully admitted to people that he was a bounty hunter, an arms dealer for Khashoggi. Again, his return to the United States showed an excessive amount of hubris.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Why does he come back?
So, because he long believed and had sought legal counsel, as has Ghislaine Maxwell, and this will be central to her defense, that if you are charged with a crime by the federal government in one jurisdiction, double jeopardy applies. So you cannot be charged with anything else. However, the Southern District of New York has indicated that it was going to challenge that by saying that being charged with a crime in one jurisdiction does not prevent you from being charged in the 106 other jurisdictions for which the Department of Justice operates.
He believed he had immunity, is what I understand.
Well, yes, he believed that he had immunity as a result of his prior conviction. And part of that conviction was a clause that allowed for other individuals that were unnamed to also receive immunity, mm-hmm. one of those being Ghislaine Maxwell. Right. And that is central to her defense. I've spoken to people whom indicate that in the months leading up to her arrest by the FBI, again, she had the means, motive, and opportunity to do a Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Flee America,
yeah.
Go to France, and live a life in exile from the United States, but never be extradited. She carried a French passport, but instead, she moves to New Hampshire.
Yeah, she's hiding in New Hampshire, in a big...
So she had an excessive amount of hubris because she believed she was untouchable.
Wow.
She believed that the immunity deal that was struck in the late 2000s related to Jeffrey Epstein's sweetheart plea deal protected her from prosecution. And if that is the argument that they're going to use in court to try and acquit her of the, I think it's now an 8-count indictment, it's a Hail Mary, because the SDNY and the DOJ have already indicated that they are going to challenge that. And they obviously believe that they would successfully challenge that by arresting Jeffrey Epstein on the tarmac of the airport at Teterboro in the first place.
Now, I saw the pictures of that lodge, multi-million-dollar wood, it was a beautiful place, and she's just living there. And she's, I've seen the pictures. Also, you know what's online now, and why am I saying this to you? Because are the Epstein, the pictures inside his cell after his death, and these pictures, and I use the word believe, but I think the guy, I love what you said. I'll steal that, Dylan. Assisted suicide. They helped him die.
Yeah, and look, I know Michael Baden did a subsequent autopsy on Jeffrey Epstein, but when an autopsy is funded by the family, you've got to call into question.
Sure.
I don't mean to call into question Mr. Baden's tremendous experience, but when it's paid for by a family member and not independently, then one must call into question the findings of that.
No, I agree with everything you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, listen, he clearly committed suicide, but I believe people told him that it would behoove him to do so, and it might have been a condition of which he operated that when his use-by date was up, he had to take the means to make sure that with him died the secrets that he'd used to trade off the back of the decades prior.
Well, it's, in Godfather, when it's Frankie Pantangelo, do yourself in.
Exactly.
I think about those things. I'm going to do this. I need to take a break. We got a market update. And then what would you like the audience, now that this Bill Gates story breaks, what would you like people to know? Our guest is wonderful. This is not his last appearance. Dylan Howard, the book Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Aging does not have to be hard. Getting older is not for the weak. But I don't know, it's 12 years ago, Dr. Julie McCallum came into my life. A tremendous difference in my life. I was over at the office on Monday. They use advanced testing, diagnostics, and help you uncover, what's going on and how they turn you healthy. The key to health is, it isn't treating symptom after symptom. It's finding why those symptoms, what they say, go to the doctor when you feel good. That's my thing with Dr. McCallum. Your quality of life is directly linked to your risks and health, and the Cenogenics program dedicated to those factors and things as really as possible as increasing your energy performance, overall well-being. The team can help you with your metabolism, your hormone balances, and getting healthy. I'm telling you what, man, she's the best. Call Cenogenics today. She changed my life. My word on it, she'll do the same for you. Make the appointment. The number is 720-387-3681. Call 720-387-3681. The website's denver.cenogenics.com. What they do is they return your call and arrange for a free 20-minute phone call with Dr. McCallum. Jared's there. Everybody's there, man. 720-387-3681. The website, denver.cenogenics.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Peter Boyles, News Talk 710 KNUS.
It's 7:46, 14 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, 710 KNUS. Rain and snow mix. Brian Gray from Alpine Planning joins us now, my guru in retirement. My boy, what's going on?
We got an ugly situation this morning. We're talking big sell-off in the tech sector, and then, of course, this gas situation. We got the Dow down over 300 points, S&P's down 43, and then the NASDAQ is down another 169 points. Yesterday, we saw the NASDAQ fall about 1%. Today, we're seeing about another 2% sell-off as that continues. Some of the big players, Alphabet dropped 3%, Apple dropped 3%. Tesla, the poster boy for the NASDAQ, that fell almost 7% in pre-market trading, so they're kind of taking it in the shorts a little bit. All of this is caused by the fear of inflation and rising interest rates. That was a large cause of the sell-off. And then we got this whole mystery of this energy pipeline. You know, a group has come out and laid claim to it. They're called the Dark Side. We want to keep an eye on this. They're expecting gas prices to rise by 3 to 6%, or 3 to 6 cents, I'm sorry, a gallon over the next couple of weeks. So far, we haven't seen the effect on Denver before Memorial Day. But we want to keep an eye on this group called the Dark Side. Everybody's trying to really tie them in with the Russian government, so we'll just have to see. If you got some questions, give us a call over here at Alpine Planning Group. Myself, Amy, and Gabe, we'd love to sit down with you and see if we can be of assistance.
303-843-0918. I'm going to see the man this morning. Investing is a matter of trust. Brian's there. 303-843-0918. Go out in style. Thanks, my boy. See you in a little bit.
All right, see you.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right. That is good morning, everyone. 7:48, 12 before the hour, coming up, David Capelli. And in the meantime, this guy, we're getting back as often as we can. Dylan Howard, his book, Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. It takes a tremendous turn in the last, oh, I don't know, 5-6 days on Melinda Gates talking. And then a story this morning in New York on the private life of Bill Gates, who, all intents and purposes, appears like this really straight-edge geek, and it turns out it's anything but, and then his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And you have talked openly, and a book is devastating, on how many, as they say, bold letter, bold print names. Prince Andrew, you did great work on Prince Andrew. I've read of Virginia Roberts, who came out in that picture. And what do you think the future bodes for Prince Andrew?
Well, again, not to deviate too far from what we're talking about, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, I exposed the Prince Andrew scenario by way of Virginia's private diaries. And the mainstream media was sort of interested, but not too much. There's such a wider story at play here that I think a lot of reporters are just too scared to go near because they might uncover something that might be too hot to handle, or they're just lazy. But Prince Andrew will never serve in a public role moving forward because the situation is he cannot ever act in a role in which he represents the monarchy because he's not been honest and open about what took place with his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And one must call into question the ability of him to function when the Southern District of New York wants to ask him a series of questions, yet he's being, well, they're being prevented from doing so by a high-powered legal team that includes a lawyer who formerly represented General Pinochet on extradition charges.
Yeah, I in seeing the lawyer's list, Dershowitz aside, here comes, who comes in? Ken Starr. Ken Starr is representing blocking attempts of these young women to get to Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know. I mean, I loved, there was a part in the other book where this one woman, young attorney that's working, and she looks at she says about Dershowitz, can we not have him arrested for the legal things that he was doing to protect Jeffrey Epstein? Why would all of these people, you mentioned so many, it's like the big names, why, I mean, it's self-explanatory why they want Epstein protected. or why they would want him dead. That's kind of a final question, Dylan, if you would.
Everyone is entitled to legal representation.
I know.
Some lawyers have moral codes. Other lawyers say that that notion of everyone is entitled to a defense. I purely am speculating, but if you peel back the layers of the onion, we might find greater relationships connected within the Epstein and Maxwell network. And who might well be connected to it? It is a fascinating exploration of who might have known what, when they knew it, how they knew it, why they knew it, why they did nothing about it, or why they did things to provide him a level of safe harbor.
Yeah, I mean, I came onto the story late, but now a couple of books under my belt and a lot of other stuff, and now the Bill Gates story starts breaking on Thursday, and this morning it's really a nasty story about Gates and Gates spending the night at the mansion, and they're trying to spin the story for financial advice. And I said, I got $142 billion or whatever that number is. I'm going to go to Jeffrey Epstein and talk about investments. No, I'm not. And if I do, why would I not go to dinner someplace and open? And then why would I spend the night of all places in his mansion? Don't you believe, as I believe, that there is more to come on this one?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the question that a lot of people will be asking themselves is, be careful what you wish for.
Ooh. Oh, see it every day. Someday we'll get a chance to talk about something here that was called Denver Players, Denver Sugar, and the role the media and powerful people played in that. It was a four-outlet prostitution ring that the rich and powerful of Denver, the men, came and played, and it never saw the air, never got out. So you're the best, Dylan Howard. I'll get you back again if you become an Epstein reader. Dead Men Tell No Tales. Dylan, thank you, and we'll speak again pretty soon, as soon as possible. Thank you for doing. Have a great day. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. On the other side, David Kapelian and then Dave Gruber. It's a Tuesday morning. Billy Thorpe's got the con, but this Gates story is just bizarre. Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. Wonder what that was about. Huh? Winky, winky.
There are three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710 KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710knus.com and click on Email the Show.